Hi, I'm Steve-O. I have been informed that I only have 30 seconds to talk to you about Friday Night Fanfiction. So here we go. Friday Night Fanfiction is the terrible drunken fanfic reading podcast you've been waiting for. Every week, we read terribly written fanfiction and turn it into a drinking game. We bring guests on every week. We take suggestions for fanfics to read. So come join David, Logan, Sean, Val, and myself Wednesdays broadcasting and Fridays posting Friday Night Fanfiction only on the Nerdy Show Network.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network. Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by a comic shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and to learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the borough of Queens, in the city of New York, this is the Epic Podcast with your hosts, Nelson Lugo and Schaefer, the Dark Lord.
Hello, loyal listeners. You are listening to the Epic Podcast number 56, recorded live and in studio in the beautiful Studio 6C in Astoria, Queens. I am your host, Nelson Lugo.
It's episode 55.
What did I say?
Six.
All right, let's go back. Just
forget it.
No, edit this out.
I'm not going to edit it. And I am your other host, Schaefer the Dark Lord.
All right, we'll try it again from the top.
I don't...
Hello, loyal listener. This is episode 56.
It's five. It's episode 55.
Wait, I did it again?
You said 56 again.
Shit, 55.
You know...
Hello, loyal listener.
Oh, my God.
Will you stop walking into my line?
Oh, no, here, go ahead. Just nail it. Just do it.
I'm going to nail it.
You've got this.
I'm going to nail it.
I feel for you. I feel it.
Third time's a charm.
Okay.
Hello, loyal listener. This is episode 55 of the Epic Podcast. What, you're shaking your head? Why'd you shake your head?
You keep, finish it. You got to say your name. Why do you keep stopping in
because
the middle of it?
Because you shook your head as if I'd done something wrong.
I just shake my head in exasperation all the time. It has nothing to do with you doing something
stop
right.
Stop talking. I'm trying to get through this.
We got this. All right.
Hello, loyal listener. This is episode 55 of the Epic Podcast, recorded in studio in the beautiful Studio 6C in Astoria, Queens. My name is Nelson Lugo.
And my name is Schaefer the Dark Lord.
And we are back for another healthy dose of your daily required Epic Podcast into your lovely ear holes.
Recorded in studio in the lovely Studio 6C. That's what you said. That was great.
Just edit that part out.
Look.
Just cut it out.
You know, every month we record an episode of the show and I spend, you come over for like a couple hours.
Sure.
Right. And then I spend a couple of long, excruciating nights editing this thing.
Okay.
And then there's two things that are consistent. One, you're always giving me more to edit, like you just did by doing the intro five
that
times.
That doesn't track.
And you're also always giving me grief about the fact that I will come to you as like I'm all like sweaty and tattered clothes. I have slaved over this episode for two nights to edit it and make us sound good. And you just came in and walked away, and always just shrug it off.
Look, you are nothing if not dramatic and curmudgeonly.
Oh, it's always going to come back to this, too. It's always going to come back to this conflict between the two of us that you are just like laissez-faire, and that I am obsessive and a control freak.
Where's the lie, exactly?
You are creating the control for me to freak out on, the additional work
okay,
that I have.
Okay, all right, look.
I've got a suggestion.
It seems you're particularly ornery tonight. You have something, you got something to get off your chest?
I do got something I want to get off my chest.
All right.
Okay, I am exhausted.
Okay.
And I'll get into that in a minute.
Sure.
But what's important here is that I just got back into town after being gone for a couple of weeks. Sure. I don't have a couple of nights to edit this like the way I normally
no,
do.
No, this is very, very close to the wire. Yes.
I thought we would just come in here and record the episode and I would stay up all night tonight recording this and be a zombie in my day job.
Why?
Tomorrow.
Why would you do that to yourself?
Because these episodes take a lot of work to make. To make them sound coherent and like we're not a couple of completely inarticulate dullards. You don't know how much work goes in. You
I only resemble hear the edit. That remark.
You only hear it once it's edited. You never hear the raw audio of it. You don't know how bad we sound when I don't
stop.
Go into a massage. Okay,
well, stop. Look, I get that there's a lot of flubs that we do, and you edit out a lot of the times where we have to go back and remake our points. You know, but come on, it can't be that bad.
All right, well, listen, so we're going to do Tough Guy because
okay.
I am exhausted.
Yeah.
And we are running late.
Sure.
I normally have an extra week to record this. What we're going to do is we're going to record tonight's episode. It's Monday. This
Monday.
Episode airs on Thursday.
Monday, October 23rd.
Yes. No. I don't have a lot of time this week
no, you
to
do
edit this.
No.
So, and since you seem to think everything's going to be fine if
yeah.
you just shit out an episode and throw it up like every other podcast on the internet, you think that's going to be just fine.
Yeah.
To be fair, every other podcast on the internet doesn't do that. They edit their shit like I do.
Meh.
But anyway,
I find
just
that
to prove
to
a point because I don't have time. We're just going to record this entire episode raw.
Great.
At the end, I'll throw a little bit of compression on it, slap on some intro and end, and that's
sure.
it. I'm not touching it. I'm not even going to listen to it.
Okay.
I always have to listen to every single word that we say again
hey,
I'm editing it.
Hey, buddy. Buddy.
What?
Take a breath. I'm on your side. I'm agreeing with you.
Yes. Are you?
Finally.
Okay.
Finally, you can have a good night's sleep, not have to worry about this damn thing, slap some ads on it, Cap will be happy, listeners will be happy, you'll be happy, everybody wins.
I don't know who you think I am, but I will not be happy.
That's true. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't know who I was speaking to there for a second. I apologize.
Anyway, so you'll see. There's
okay.
no editing. You don't get to go back.
Well,
you don't
then,
get to fix
well, then,
anything.
Tell you what.
Be careful whose names you say.
Oh, dear.
Because I'm not using the bleep. And also, all of the racial slurs that you always use that
oh,
I edit out of every episode.
I do not use any racial
That's
slurs.
That's most of the editing time.
You're making that up. Shut up. I don't even know where to go from there.
I got a title for the episode already.
Okay, go for it.
Episode 55, Uncut.
Nice.
Thank you so much.
I like that.
I just came up with that.
It's good.
Great. You'd probably better make some notes during this.
Why?
So we know what links to throw up in the thing, because I'm not going to hear this again.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm not going to listen to it.
All right, hold on. Let me open up my note
game.
App.
This isn't a game.
All right, here we go.
This is real life.
Yes. So if we talk about something that requires a link, I will write a note and we will do it in the doobly doo.
Terrific. So we haven't been around in a couple of months.
I haven't seen you in a very long. Well, that's not true. I've seen like minutes of you.
Right.
And do you want to tell the people why?
Well, we did episode 54 that came out in August.
Sure.
And then we didn't do an episode in September.
Right.
Because I was on tour in the Midwest.
Yeah, all over the place.
In September, I was on tour in the Midwest with my friend Cool Z.
Cool Z.
Guest of the program, friend of the program.
Sure.
And so I timed it just so I got back right in time for our episode to drop. And so I pled with the Nerdy Show upper echelon and said, oh, please take mercy on us. Last month, we called a bunch of people and asked for suggestions to make our show better. So this month, we're not going to do a show.
Yeah. That was the only logical response to that episode.
October rolls around. Same thing happens. I go on tour again.
Yeah.
This time a tour of the East Coast with MC Lars, Mega Ran, and MC Frontalot. The Awesome Friendship Adventure Tour, or as MC Frontalot called it, the Guess Which One of Us Named This Tour Tour. And I also land back in New York with days to go before the release. Now, I cannot appear with my hat in my hand above the board of directors at Nerdy Show again and say, we can't do an episode this month. I was too busy playing make-believe rock star.
Yeah.
So we're getting this one in.
Okay.
But anyway, it's good to see you.
It's good to see you too.
In spite of everything.
You dick. I saw you
when was it, Monday?
You saw me Monday.
And did I see you before
like
that?
Like the 16th or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I saw you last week Monday. You were at the Mercury Lounge.
That was the stop on the MC Lars Name This Tour tour.
Yeah, and that was a great, great show. By
Thank
the way.
You.
Yeah.
That tour was so much fun.
Yeah?
It was great. It was bigger rooms.
Well, it's all your besties, too. You know what I mean? It's like...
I've known these guys for 10 years.
Yeah.
So there's like this really warm camaraderie among us.
Yeah.
And we see each other a few times a year at cons or shorter tours or South by Southwest. But I got to spend some quality concentrated time on the road with all of them. And it was wonderful. There were, you know, bigger rooms, sold out shows, packed audiences,
I know.
People who wanted merch, people who were interested in this nonsense that I do into microphones. They cared. It was bizarre. It was awesome.
You did 30 minutes?
35.
You did 35 minutes?
Yes.
That was a excellent 35 minute set.
Thank you very much.
The stuff that you wrote and the stuff and from what I could tell, the stuff that you had sort of come up with on tour and had been doing it on tour landed really well. You were particularly good and funny that night.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
And I feel like this cat has already been kind of out of the bag because we've been hinting around it.
What's
for
that?
The past couple months. But before this tour started, you recently took up a position as my live on stage DJ.
Right. At Dark Lord Industries.
Yes. At Dark Lord Industries. Don't ever call it that again. But you, Lugatron 5000, uh-huh. has been my onstage DJ, and it's been great
right.
because
yeah.
it's kind of like my live show combined with the podcast because there's interactive bits between
yes.
us.
Yes, yes, yes.
So it was a real, the drag was that, you know, since I was opening this tour,
uh-huh.
I had, you know, by the time we made it to New York, it was just watertight. I knew
yeah.
exactly how to fit every word into 35 minutes. Yeah. And I really wanted to bring you up and have you like bring your gear down
no,
and have you
no,
DJ
no.
that show.
But. No. I mean, thank you. Thank you for wanting that. But I knew kind of going in that because you were opening and you only had 35 minutes and because a lot of our bits, like, take up like half our set.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it was either the choice of doing less songs,
sure.
right, with me, or no bits.
Yeah.
And so I think you, I mean, I wouldn't have had a problem if I just stood up there and pushed buttons for you.
Yeah.
Like, I would have loved that, but I don't think you would have. Like, I think you would have felt somehow lacking in doing that.
Yeah. I think the show is better with you.
Oh, stop.
No, I do.
Stop.
It's a different type
Shut
of
up.
Show. And now I'm just trying
Shut
to like
your...
rub it in the faces of everybody who just came out and saw me. Sorry.
No.
It is. It's a different show.
It's and a different show.
It's something
yeah,
that
it's apples and oranges.
I've been really enjoying developing with you. And I
yeah.
feel like people can start expecting to see that.
I love reading emails that you've sent me at 3 a.m. with literally just the heading, download this, keep it for later.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty late, huh? Thanks for not responding to that, by the way.
Oh,
you just did.
How? What response? I got it. I downloaded it.
You know, in my merch inventory now, I have new pins that I made, new Shape of the Dark Lord buttons. And there's one of the buttons is just a Lugatron 5000
yeah.
button.
Yeah.
I sold a bunch of those on the road.
Did you really?
And I would tell people, I would say they would come, they're like, oh, I want the orange one. And I'm like, you know, that's not me. That's mm-hmm. my DJ in
yeah.
New York, but he's not on this tour. And they'd be like, yeah, he's Lugo from the Epic Podcast. I want that button. So I guess I owe you some merch points.
Yeah.
I was selling your likeness around the,
that's fine.
The Northeast.
I don't care. You could give me the pennies later. So if you would like a Lugatron 5000 button some sort of other merch, you can go to shapeofthedarklord.com. Is that right?
It's not. I guess I should put the buttons. I'll put like a button pack up in my merch store.
Yeah.
Right
yeah,
now
yeah,
the buttons
yeah.
aren't there. They're just things that when people order stuff from my merch store, I throw in the bag with them.
Oh, okay.
But I might make a pack of five.
Yeah.
So I can get that elusive Pokemon.
Ooh.
The Lugatron button.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I must say that I never thought I would ever be on stage with you as your musical second banana ever.
It's pretty weird because you've spent
really
like our
weird.
Entire friendship going,
yeah.
I am the least musical person in the world.
I am.
But you're not.
Well, I mean, comparatively to you and the people that you go on tour with, yes. And I've the times we've been on stage, it's usually some sort of like Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck sort of kind of like shenanigans, you know what I mean? Where two people who are clearly the best of friends but enjoy ribbing the fuck out of each other.
Yes.
And so this was just a very different dynamic.
Yeah.
And very different stage feel, and I love doing it. So I'm looking forward to doing more with that.
I'm looking forward to bringing it to more stages. Hey, yeah. I could book you for a show right now.
What's that?
Oh, we'll take this out later.
Okay.
Oh, no, wait, we can't!
We're going right into a plug section? Let's do it.
Okay, well, remember, we were supposed to do a show in Florida at the Geekeasy for Angaku Overdrive.
Right, and then the hurricane hit.
And the hurricane hit, and the show was canceled, and we stayed home. We didn't do it. That show's been rescheduled. It has a date now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It does. It's now Saturday, January 20th.
Okay, great. Well,
you can put it in your calendar later, but yeah. So you're going to come down to Florida.
Sweet.
And we're going to do this. We're going to do a proper show.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
At the Geekeasy. But there'll be details as we get closer to that.
Okay.
Let's not dwell on the future now. Christ.
You're tired. You just got back the other day.
I just got back.
Because you've been gone. I mean, you did two tours. Over the course of what?
Like 2 months.
Two months.
It wasn't, neither of them were very long. Was just under 2 weeks.
Still,
one was a week.
I mean,
for my old achy bones, and I'm a little rusty at the touring game. I don't get out on the road as much as my peers do because I kind of got burnt out early on before I had an audience because I did it all backwards. And also, I really like my apartment because that's where all my stuff is.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm old and it's hard to get out there, but this was absolutely worth it. And it rekindled something.
Oh, good.
And it makes me want to get out there and tour more frequently.
Good. I'm sure there are people in Ohio who would love to see you.
Ohio! Columbus, Ohio was a dope show.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was so good.
Nice.
Shout out to everybody who came out to Rumba Cafe in Columbus, Ohio.
Hey.
You guys were dope.
Dope as fuck.
I
did a thing.
What'd you do?
Do you know that bar on top of a bar that I keep talking about?
The Red Room.
The Red Room.
We did a show.
Yeah, we did a show.
But what did you do?
I did a very different thing than I produced a show that I'd never produced before.
Okay.
I produce a fundraiser for a charity.
Okay.
And I produced a primarily people of color variety show to raise money and awareness for the island of Puerto Rico and sort of the devastation that's been visited upon that island. And I don't know how many of our listeners are really plugged into what's happening in Puerto Rico, but it's worse. It's so much more worse than any network television news program is reporting. It'll take decades to rebuild.
Yeah, the conditions have not improved much since it stopped being in the major news cycle.
Yeah, exactly.
And so people maybe want to forget about it.
Right.
They're not being reminded of it.
It's convenient.
Right.
And FEMA couldn't get through for the longest time because of stupid archaic laws regarding shipping lanes and trade. And it's, and so lots of people have taken to just taking the one flight into Puerto Rico with boxes and boxes of batteries and fresh water and candles and all kinds of crazy stuff. But I found, it was pointed out to me, a charity called Heart to Heart International.
Okay.
They're primarily a medical organization. They put doctors, nurses, and healthcare professionals in the most remote places when it comes to disasters like this. And so this organization is literal human beings, boots on the ground in the most far-flung places of Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the places where, like, FEMA is just not going to get to anytime soon. You know,
right. The places you can't even reach, even if you throw a roll of paper towels as hard as you can.
Yes.
Okay.
Don't get me angry. I will choke this microphone to death.
Come on, guys.
Again, they're primarily a medical organization, but they're also bringing with them other supplies. They're bringing, you know, batteries and food and water and, you know, basic necessities of life. And they're bringing refrigeration units for insulin medicine that have gone bad. You know, like, they're doing something. There's people, real people doing real things there. And we raised, I believe, I don't have the exact number, but it was a lot of monies coming in from different places. But I think the final count was $1,400.
Oh, nice.
For Heart to Heart International, an achievement that I'm very, very proud of. And
good job.
Thank you. Thank you. And it was a fantastic show, too. I mean,
I saw that lineup. It was nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah, we're talking like really sort of top-notch talent, and they all put the word out, and I saw lots of really friendly faces and lots of people I'd never seen before, which is always good to see as a producer, you know, gave away a veritable fuck ton of donated prizes and lots of really kooky, wacky things, and... yeah, I'm really proud that I. Here's the thing, like as you can probably attest or verify for our listening audience, I'm really good at producing shows. I'm pretty damn good at it. I can assemble a cast, I can manage a venue, I can market the damn thing, I can get butts in seats. I hate doing it.
Yeah,
I hate it. I hate it with every fiber of my fucking being. But. I decided to put on the producer hat for this one time, and it worked out.
Yeah, you can't say this one time. You've said this one time many times over the years.
I know. It's the thing I'm good
instead
at.
Instead of
and
this
the thing
one
I
time,
doing
how about
you
say this time?
This time.
Okay.
I mean, the thing is, like, I produce my own shows, and that's what I'm willing to do. That's the amount of effort I'm willing to put in, but I don't want to produce other people anymore.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, good for you. You used a skill set for good.
Instead of evil.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was good. I had a really, really good time. I just got back from the Catskills.
The Catskills?
The Catskills.
What are you doing up there?
Jeff Mack, who does the Steampunk World's Fair, does a number of different events throughout the year.
Uh-huh.
And he does three events at this resort, part-time summer resort, part-time ski resort called the Blackthorn Resort, Blackthorn Lodge, I think it's called. And it's a steampunk event. There's one in the summer called Steampunk in the Catskills. And then he does two Halloween-themed events in October. And I
saw pictures of you online getting stalked by ghouls.
No, that's different.
Oh, well then, anyway, tell your story.
No, I just wanted to give a shout out to Jeff Mock and the Steampunk World's Fair for having me.
What did you do?
I did a 30-minute magic set.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you, when you do vocal exercises before your shows,
yeah.
I've heard a lot of them and I've mocked them over the years.
Yes, you have.
You do very professional. You obviously have some sort of legitimate theater training.
I do. Lots of it. Lots of classic theater training. Yeah.
Some just dirtbag dying for attention like me. So when you do a steampunk event for a vocal warm up, do you say cogs and goggles, cogs and goggles, cogs and goggles, goggles and cogs? Do you say that?
That's a good joke.
Copper goggles and cogs. Copper goggles and cogs.
Copper goggles. Copper goggles and cogs. Copper goggles and cogs. Copper. No, but I will.
Okay,
from this point forward, I will. I will do that. But here's the thing. Something happened during my 30-minute set that happens a lot. Well, enough. It happens enough that it's really bothering me. And it's nobody's fault. So... this lodge not only was taken over by steampunk people, it was just chock-a-block of steampunk fans,
mm-hmm.
but the bar at the lodge is still open to the locals, you know, the townies, you know, and so when I did my 30-minute set, I did it in the bar that actually has a stage for, like, music, but I took it over for my act, and so there were a bunch of locals at the bar who couldn't really be bothered with all the steampunk shenanigans.
Sure.
And so when I started my set... They had been day drinking for several hours, and so they started heckling me.
Oh, goody!
Yeah, and you, as you are well know, I have turned a corner in my heckling life. Like, I don't really engage with them anymore.
No, you used to be really brutal.
Yeah, no, I went through phases. I went through a very gentle, kind phase.
Yeah,
where I would engage with them very playfully.
Had like a term for you at one point, like. Fuckless Lugo or Aggro Lugo or something. There was some period when you were particularly angry, which is going to be really hard to pinpoint. But you were just savage with hecklers. Yeah. But the thing is that you would almost greedily lash out at them, and then you would kind of keep them engaged so that you could greedily lash out at them for a long time.
Well, that was during a period of time where I was massively depressed.
Yes.
Well, massively
I'm not giving you grief about it. I'm just saying, when you make reference to...
Yeah. No, I'm providing context because I was depressed and angry and sad. I never did a magic trick. So I was always introduced as the magician, but I never at one point actually did a magic trick during my act. I would come out, I would attempt to do a magic trick.
Oh yeah.
Someone would inevitably heckle me. And so the entire 10-minute set became me basically unleashing a nuclear stockpile of hate and grief and sadness upon this person.
Yeah, those are great shows.
But because of who I am, because I'm a professional and I'm good at what I do, everybody laughed. Everybody laughed and had a great time, and I became an insult comic.
Thus, the angry man child was reinforced.
Yeah,
for his tantrums.
Exactly. So then, when I started to become happier, or less sad, less depressed, as I grew out of that darkness, I wanted to do more of my magic material. But all of those people, fans and friends, who had seen me for the past 3 years, just become this. Basically a insult comic.
Yeah.
Would prompt me by heckling me.
Yeah.
And then it became another, like, I don't know, maybe another year before I basically got all of my quote unquote friends to stop heckling me. Mm-hmm. And then maybe another year after that to basically just learn a way for me to deal with hecklers where I don't have to go to that place. I don't have to go nuclear option on them.
True. You know? And then a year after that, you were no longer friends with any of those assholes anymore. Anyway,
so it doesn't matter. So
you get a couple of day drinkers from the Catskills. Yes. They're just up to the eyeballs in gin,
right?
They're ready to go at this guy in the cogs and the goggles.
Yeah,
getting ready to pull a ray gun out of his leather duster.
Right. Okay. The thing is, like, I can tell right away that they're not mean. They're not surly. They're just day buzzed. You know what I mean? Like, they're there to watch a game. They're not there to really.
Yeah.
You know, I just happen to be the thing that's interrupting their sports game, right? Mm-hmm. So the heckling they were doing were just almost just, I don't know, like dad humor heckling.
Sure.
You know, very light, very non-confrontational, but also, but you know, disruptive. And so I would acknowledge it and go, hey, and they kind of banter back, and they would be appeased and they would shut up. But it kind of happened throughout the set. So half of my set became me acknowledging their existence so they would stop, and then me going on. Until finally, I get to what is essentially the climax of my 30-minute set. This one act that I've been building up for 28 minutes, ultimately. The denouement, the fucking grand finale of this thing. And I'm about to go into it when ultimately, let me, as context, there's two paper bags on a table. And they're sealed. Inside one paper bag is a 6-inch iron spikes pointing straight up. The other bag is completely empty. And I've been having the audience choose the bag that I will slam my hand on. And I start with 5 bags. So over the course of 30 minutes, I've weaned it down to just 2 bags. Mm-hmm. And this is the grand finale. And, you know, and I'm telling a story about how magicians have hurt themselves, you know, how this is, you know, when I say this is the most dangerous act I do, this is not hyperbole. This is real. You can look it up on YouTube, you know, and I'm about to do it. And a guy in the back yells, "How do I know which bag has a nail and which one's safe?" And then, you know what? It's like that scene in The Bronx Tale where the gangster goes up to the door and locks it and says, "Now you can't leave." I fucking unload. I shotgun blast him in the fucking face. And I just go, I basically just start yelling at him, "Hey, asshole, you've been here for the entire fucking act. You have the exact same information that every other human being in this room has. Shut the fuck up." That's a truncated version.
Sure.
But I spent like 5 minutes unloading on him. Again, because I'm a professional and I'm really good at what I do, the room fucking went into goddamn cheers, standing ovations over what I did.
Oh, that's sweet, sweet reinforcement again.
Yeah. And so then finally, and then it's funny when I go back to it, it says, "Okay, so which bag did you choose? Which one's safe?" And so it becomes a laugh. I finished. I slammed the bag. I'm safe. I open up the other bag. The nail is in there. Great applause. I tell everybody, come up here, you know, put a dollar in my hat if you really like the show. You know, come shake my hand if you don't have a dollar. I'd love to meet all of you, right?
Sure.
So I go to the foot of the stage. I put up my thing. Almost everybody in the room is waiting to say what a great show it was, to shake my hand, to give me money, whatever. Mm-hmm. The two hecklers in the back come up to me, shake my hand, and throw money in my hat. You know. And they apologize. I said, hey, you know, we're just trying to help. And I give them that week. I don't need your help. And then they just kind of went on and played pool. Like, no harm, no foul, no angry. Everybody had a good time. However, and this is the point I'm making, and this has happened a few times now, the next day, no one was talking about my magic. Everyone was talking about how I unloaded on the hecklers and how they loved it. I'm not remembered for the 30 minutes of magic. I'm remembered for the 5 minutes that I handled a heckler.
5 minutes? Was it really 5 minutes?
Well, it felt like, it was more like maybe a minute.
Okay.
It was like maybe a minute. But it was like I did, you know, I did 30 minutes of magic. I paused for a minute to handle a heckler. I guarantee you, if you asked them how the show was, the first thing out of their mouth was, oh my God, he did this amazing thing with a heckler.
Yeah.
And this has happened a few times now.
Yeah.
In several places, in several, you know, in several states, in several shows and different environments. And because I'm really, really good at handling hecklers, I don't back down. Like, I don't ignore them, which is what probably every other performer in the world does.
Yeah.
But the problem is that ignoring them doesn't work most of the time. It emboldens them.
But so does engaging them at times. You can't really tell.
There, no, you'll
there's
never,
not,
yeah,
there's not
never
a
tell.
Universal mindset for,
no,
the,
no, there isn't.
For the wild North American heckler. They are an unpredictable lot, and they are all garbage, all of them.
So it bothers me. Like, I want to be known as a magician. I don't want to be known as the guy who can shut down hecklers really well.
If you get your heckler shut down, narrowed down to three words that you shout with a pause and can't carry on, you won't step on your own act.
Yeah.
Do that. That's the game, though. You have to select.
No, I know.
Three words.
Well, what I used to do, and I don't do anymore, because I think it makes people more uncomfortable than it does. Like, what I used to do is I would pause for an uncomfortably long period of time, and then I would say, "Hi, I don't know if you realize this, but my name is Nelson. I'm doing a show. I would appreciate it if you didn't say anything during my act. So I'm going to offer you a choice." You can stay and talk as much as you want, but I'm not going to do anything until you're satisfied that you're done. Or you can leave. Or, and here's the third option, you can stay and enjoy the show. What would you like to do? And then I do nothing until they give me an answer. And that can be a second where they go, oh, you know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah.
Or they'll go on and say some other stuff, but they're not going to get a response from me. Like, they get deadpan silence.
Yeah, I mean, that's also quite a gamble, especially if you're doing it in, like, in the build up to your final reveal.
Exactly.
Like, and you suck all the air.
You
out
suck
of
all
momentum.
The air out of it, and then there's no way for me to get that back.
Yeah. You got to work on that. That's your homework. You figure out a three-word mantra that shuts down a heckler and gets the audience applause. Well, I'll give you up to five words.
Well, the thing is, like, if it's a theater, like, if it's in a theater, I know how to do that really, really quickly, really gently, and get a laugh.
Yeah, but not you don't know how to do it in a bar that has street traffic.
Yeah.
That are privy to your show.
Exactly.
Five words.
Like, I can do it in a room full of people who paid to see me specifically.
Sure.
I don't know how to do that in a room where it's a mixed bag of people who came to see me, people who have no idea what the hell's going on.
Well, work on it, magic man.
But other than that, like, one moment, I had a really, really good time, and I really did a great set, and people really enjoyed it, and hopefully the steampunk people have me back.
Good, bravo.
Yeah.
Good job. Five words.
Five words.
That's what you're going to work on.
Shut the fuck up.
Yes.
Hole.
No. It's got to be more clever than that.
No. Shut the fuck up,
no,
dude.
You work on it, not here.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
You work on this when you go out and into your world beyond okay. the studio.
All right. Okay. All right. Weirdo. I thought we were gonna play in the space. You know, go a little back and forth, do a little yes and.
Yeah, I did. We did that part.
But yeah, I mean, it's been busy. It's been a busy month, and you know, October's gonna be busy. And
yo, check this shit out.
What?
I'm in a video game.
Oh fuck, that's right.
A video game just came out. I'm in a video game.
Yeah, you are. It's good.
There's a video game from a company called Center Steel.
Yeah.
About a year ago, they created a video game for MC Lars.
Yeah.
The MC Lars, the video game.
MC Lars, the video game.
And yes. It's just like a running,
punching platformer, yeah.
It's loosely rhythm-based, like all the levels are set to his songs.
Yeah.
And it's a
continuous runner.
Yeah. It's rhythm-based in the way that those levels in Rayman's Legends are, not okay. in the way that Guitar Hero is.
Right.
So the game was a success, so now there is a sequel. MC Lars Video Game 2, Brotherhood. Where now, after... there's a story, but...
What was it? Dr. Autotune? What's the name of the villain?
Dr. Autotune is this evil villain okay. trying to destroy music with his corporate cronies. And
corporate cronies.
You have to battle him yes. using MC Lars, as well as his new playable character friends, MC Frontalot, Megaran, Whitey Cracker, and Schaefer the Dark Lord.
I played it. Yeah. It's hard.
It
I'm
is
not gonna
it's
lie.
A hard game.
It's a hard game. It's deceptively simple, and yet it's very challenging.
And that's great, because every level is set to one of our songs. So that means the harder, the more times you spend trying to beat it, the more times you listen to my song and get it just tattooed in your brain for the rest of the month.
I gotta say that their music choices are really on point. Like they're some of the best beats that they could. Used for that kind of gameplay.
The people...
They're very catchy tunes, I guess is what I'm saying.
The team behind the game made some... They did their research. They didn't just, you know, ask us to submit a couple of songs. They came to us and pitched us like a whole list of songs, then we whittled it down. And they knew which songs were going to work best in the game. And
What are the songs in the game from your levels?
My levels are the opener,
yeah.
Giant Iron Snake,
right.
But the remix that Untested Methods made on the Remix Passenger
nice.
Album.
Oh, nice!
And then every level has a collab level with MC Lars, so it's one of the songs that we've released as a duo. In
right.
the past.
Oh, and that's
and the one on my level is Monsters of Rock from the Manslaughter record.
Oh, nice. Okay,
yeah. It's fun.
There's yeah,
there's some cool stuff going on in the graphics. Giant Iron Snake, you're running around in some underground tunnels. And there's a giant snake in the background. Dope.
I like that when you get to the character select screen, when they select you,
yeah.
you say, I am your Dark Lord.
This is Bow to your Dark Lord. And when you pick MC Frontalot, he says, nice choice.
Yeah.
So it's out now.
Yeah.
It's an indie game. It's available for Android and iPhone.
Yep.
You can get it in your respective app stores.
I paid $4.99.
And it was worth it because you've barely cracked the surface.
No, I know. I'm basically just beginning, and I'm not even through the first songs on any of those characters yet.
Well, do it. I'm not either. I just started playing it too. And it's hard. I was on a mission to 3-star every level in the first MC Lars game, so I've already yeah. had a little gameplay under my belt, and I'm going to rock the shit out of this, see if there's some hidden content. Or maybe I just want to die a bunch of times so I can hear my audio sample when I go, ah!
That's true. You do, your dying sound is accurate.
I've been practicing for years.
Yeah. Are there any hidden Easter eggs?
I don't know.
Any cool things you could tip?
If there are, I haven't found them yet.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Well, they might be. They're a great team. Center Steel. If you want to get the game, go to your app store or go to mclars.com/game.
It sounds great. I really have to applaud the team who made this, but I mean not but. The game sounds really good.
Yeah, they did a good job.
Yeah. The sprite work is really funny too.
Yeah, it is. Also, since I'm plugging products here, let me plug one more product.
Okay, what do you got?
I've been talking for the last several episodes about how I have 2 records I'm working on that are coming out in the fall.
Oh, shit, that's right. I just heard about this today.
I've been like That's what I've been saying forever. I've got two records coming out in the fall. Maybe. Eventually.
Well, wait, what was it? November teen or something? Or what?
Yeah. Noventually.
Noventually.
2017.
Noventually.
The scheduled release date. Both of these records have titles and release dates now.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes.
Late on me.
On Halloween.
Halloween night.
It's just a few days from now.
Fuck yes.
On Halloween, October 31st. On my Bandcamp, I will be releasing Junk Drawer Volume 2.
Hooray! I've been waiting for this one. This is going to be a good one.
It will be a pay what you want record.
Oh, nice.
Which means you can all download it for exactly $0.
Yes.
Or you can throw me hundreds of dollars.
I'll give you a buck.
I'm not going to put any pressure on you.
Can I give you a buck right now?
No.
Just credit me the
Just
buck?
Just put in zero. Don't pay for it.
I want to give you money, the commiserate to your time and talent.
Junk Drawer Volume 2 will feature a number of songs that I cannot sell because they are either remixes,
sure,
or they are covers,
right,
or they heavily feature samples that I
none of
get
them
away with
belong to you.
None of them. I even, like, if I sampled songs, I kept their choruses, which makes Weezer sound really weird in the middle of a rap song.
Oh, it doesn't, or really, cause does it make it the best rap song?
It does. Weezer's awesome. But come I stole on a bunch of songs from TV shows and wrote about things that aren't those TV shows.
No, you didn't.
It's like anti-nerdcore.
I like it. I like it a lot.
So that's coming out on...
Wait, what's the other one? Is it the Shale
other
Riley?
The other one is the record that I'm doing with Shale Riley.
Nice. And the Double Ice Backfire?
That's correct.
Sweet.
On November 13th, just 13 days after Junk Drawer Volume 2 drops...
That's my favorite number.
November 13th, also releasing on Bandcamp initially, will be Schaefer Riley and the Double Ice Backfire.
Schaefer Riley
and the Double Ice Backfire. There's okay a comma.
Okay.
And the album is titled Hold Person.
Hold on a second. We'll get to the album in a minute. Okay. Why do you get top billing?
Because it sounds like Shale Riley. Like your mouth is starting to form the word Shale Riley, and then it slips in a syllable. Hey, it's Schaefer Riley. See how it just okay snuck in there? Wait, let me try it again.
Try again.
Oh, so we're going to listen to the new record from Schaefer Riley and the Double Ice Backfire. It just zooms right in there.
It does.
That's why it goes there.
It flows trippingly off the tongue.
All right, so talk to Shale. He was very generous.
He is. No,
my name
Shale is a wonderful
As is
a wonderful,
Ty,
wonderful
who
man
does all of the production and the instrumental. He is the Double Ice Backfire.
He is the Double Ice Backfire.
And he has made a really, really great sounding record.
So wait, so this is the one, Sorry, I don't know anything about this. Is it a concept album? Is this the concept album?
No, it's not a concept album. It's okay. But it's seven songs we've been working on for a couple of years.
Forever.
Yeah. But there's not a concept other than sadness. It's not really that sad. It's got sprinklings of hope. But
oh,
I mean,
good.
It's what you would expect from a record. Thematically, what you would expect from a record combining my name with Shale Riley's.
Okay. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too.
Do you know what that album is going to cost when it releases?
I don't know yet.
Okay, but I'm sure if people follow your social media, they'll get all that
they
information.
They will. I'll be plugging the shit out of it.
Sweet. I'm going to give Shale Riley $1 too.
You're going to probably have to give more than that.
He will take $1 and like it.
Okay. Anyway.
Is that it?
Yeah. What do you think of this title? Epic Podcast, episode 55, uncut.
You already did that joke.
Shit, I did.
Yeah, you already did that joke.
Now the audience is going to know about my short-term memory loss.
All right, so let's end this segment, and then we can go, we can take a break.
It's such an announcement. See, I would normally cut out the part where you say, let us end this segment.
Wait, okay. Oh, okay. All right, then.
Normally, we would just...
No, you know what? This is good, because I think the peoples will get a little, like, you know, behind the actor's studio kind of thing here.
Oh.
You know, a little, like, insider baseball kind of thing.
Capital idea, old chum.
Don't do that. That's your sarcasm. I'm not really listening to you.
I'm always listening to you.
Yeah. All right. Let's hit the pause button. Let's take a break.
Okay. Let me say the line.
Okay.
There's always this line that goes before the music.
Go for it.
Sometimes I have to do it twice. Just
give
me a second here.
I know.
Folks, we're going to burn it up!
Schaefer.
Let me try that again.
You never ever remember that I'm wearing headphones.
I do, though.
And there's a volume.
Yeah, it hurts, doesn't it?
It hurts.
You think I don't remember that?
It hurts a lot. And you do it all the time.
I know. I wish I was sorry.
Just say the line, please.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back in just a moment.
I got a lot, of pockets. And in my pockets, I got a lot of objects. Anything you want, I bet I probably got it. Cause I got an awful lot in my pockets. I got a lot, of pockets. And in my pockets, I got a lot of objects. Maybe I'm a hoarder or whatever you call it, but yeah, I got a lot of stuff in my pockets. What I'm always telling you, PKW. Phone, keys, wallet, Lana, PKW. I'm running through an inventory of my pockets. Phone, keys, wallet, keys, phone, wallet. Got it. Check them off the list and see what we missed. Got a cool mint spritzer in a Listerine mist. Next to a chapstick, flavor original. Four black rubber gloves. I ain't even kidding, y'all. I got a handkerchief and half a pack of Chiclets. A gold adapter and some old raffle tickets. 11 ultralights left in a pack of Fresh Bic lighter. What color is it? Black, duh. A paperclip, a Duane Reade receipt. Apple earbuds and a couple of beats. A fine point rollerball, a notebook too, in which I wrote these lyrics and drew pictures of dicks. I got a lot, of pockets. And in my pockets, I got a lot of objects. Anything you want, I bet I probably got it. Cause I got an awful lot in my pockets. I got a lot, of pockets. And in my pockets, I got a lot of objects. Maybe I'm a hoarder or whatever you call it, but yeah, I got a lot of stuff in my pockets. And if it gets intense, I got a leather collar. I got 50 cents and $47. A lucky talisman, a foot from a rabbit, son. Half a dozen bullets, so I never really had a gun. A cookie fortune with a sick prediction. 60 doses each of my 6 prescriptions. A macaroni poster that a little kid made. A switchblade comb, also got a switchblade. A broken bracelet that states I'm living fabulous. A room key card from the Hyatt Minneapolis. I have a hammer, I got a power sander. And a mint condition 82 Cobra Commander. I got power chargers and batteries for days. Talking 9 volts, D cells, triple double A's. And an accurate schematic for a nuclear bomb. And an autographed photograph of me and your mom. Whoops. I got a lot, of pockets. And in my pockets I got a lot of objects. Anything you want, I bet I probably got it. Cause I got an awful lot in my pockets. I got a lot, of pockets. And in my pockets I got a lot of objects. Maybe I'm a hoarder or whatever you call it, but yeah, I got a lot of stuff in my pockets. Pockets, I got a lot of pockets. I got a lot, of pockets. Pockets, pockets. Got a lot, got a lot of dicks. Pockets, pockets. Got a lot, got a lot of pockets. Got a lot of pockets. Got a lot of pockets. Got a lot of your mom. I got some coasters and coke mirrors and frisbees. And every CD every local band ever gives me. I got a sailboat, it's got a missing rudder. Got a loaf of bread, container of milk, a stick of butter. An untouched 35mm print of Star Wars. A peanut butter cup, a couple of car doors. From a DeLorean, a portrait of Dorian. I got a bunch of live goddamn scorpions. I got a mannequin and a jack-o'-lantern. A bottle of Pinot and a glass decanter. I got bed bugs, a slug bug, and a pair of pliers. I got earplugs, a butt plug, I'm wearing a wire. A full set of horseshoes and a pony bridle. A nice sculpture of a moose on a motorcycle. The Mona Lisa crafted in ceramic beads. Got a pepperoni pizza and a bag of weed.
Did you know that the Epic Podcast is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network? And did you know that the Nerdy Show Podcast Network is home to dozens of other programs that are also surely relevant to your nerdy interests? Oh, it's true. It's damn true. Swing by nerdyshow.com and see what treasures await you. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud and Audioboom, or subscribe and stream on Google Play. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. At patreon.com/nerdyshow, you can fund the entire Nerdy Show Network and unlock a plethora of amazing bonus content and early releases. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and more, visit nerdyshow.com. And be sure to follow Nerdy Show and the Epic Podcast on all of your favorite social networks. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.
I have no idea how to get into this, so.
Oh.
I mean, other than you're like, you're welcome back, I don't really know how to get into this.
Well, normally we have a guest to do, or we have some bit. So I'm going to go, welcome back to the program. You just heard the song Pockets from my new record, Junk Drawer Volume 2.
I like that song a lot.
It's not really a record because there's not going to be any physical media, but you can get it. You can get it for as little as you would like on Halloween.
I'm going to give you a crisp dollar bill.
Junk Drawer Volume 2.
That's what I'm going to do.
The song is called Pockets.
I'm going to download the fuck out of it.
I'll send it to you. I'm going to get download links and send them to you and make you think that you got something special.
Oh, thank you.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Oh, fuck. All right, so.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah.
Here's something we could talk about.
Yeah.
So I went on this tour, and it was just a couple of days on the road.
Yeah.
And a news story broke.
Yeah.
And the fucking Facebook was on fire.
Yeah. Yeah, the Weinstein Company.
Yes.
Led by Mr. Weinstein.
Harvey.
Harvey? Are you on a first name basis with him?
No. Okay. I just wanted to specify.
Harvey Weinstein. Basically ousted amid an avalanche of stories and allegations and claims and by hundreds of what seems like hundreds. I don't know the actual number, but it seems like dozens and dozens more every single day are coming out of the woodwork saying that Harvey Weinstein is a horrible, horrible human being.
Sure. Claims of sexual harassment, sexual assault.
Yeah.
You name it. Casting couch offers.
Absolutely.
That kind of stuff.
Even going so far as pedophilia claims as well.
And you know, at around the same time that all of these stories start breaking, somebody comes forward, and more come forward. Mm-hmm. And then sure enough, there's a number of his peers who come forward and say, like, oh, yeah, we all knew about that.
All of the apologies.
We never said anything.
Oh, that's right. Yes, yes.
We looked the other way.
We knew. We just didn't say anything. Yeah. Or I've heard all the rumors, and I've been warned by all the people. And then just as quickly have all the apologists saying, oh, he's a really great guy.
Sure, sure. Blah, 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 blah. Every time. It doesn't matter if it's Jared Leto or Bill Cosby. It's the same cycle every time. And it always ignites a lot of activity.
Yeah, passionate fervor on the
among
social
the
networks.
Social media, especially among the burlesque scene.
It definitely sparks.
Well, sure. I guess I'm saying especially because we both still have a pretty high concentration of burlesque personnel in our friends list.
Yeah,
we see a great deal of it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
This launched a hashtag campaign called Me Too.
Which wasn't launched by the burlesque community. It was,
No. I'm just saying this also like spread out through social media.
Sure.
Where, you know, a number of women, meaning pretty much all of them.
All of them across the
came
board.
Forward to to say like it was a campaign to acknowledge your solidarity with those who have been harassed or assaulted by men.
Right.
And sure enough. Like every post in my feed,
every single one
was a Me Too.
Yeah.
I even
posted a Me Too.
Sure, but
I mean, I did preface it by saying, you know, I realize this may not be in the spirit in which this hashtag is being put forward, but I wanted to let everyone know that, you know, Me Too.
Sure.
You know, I'm not a woman. I can't understand that struggle, but you know, Me Too.
Sure. And then you started a bonfire.
Yeah. I did. Well, because
before you go forward, I just want to remind you,
yeah,
I'm not using the bleep this month.
Okay.
So
I'm gonna name a name.
Okay. It's your show too.
I'm gonna name a name.
You do it.
I think I'm gonna name one name.
Okay.
And I'm not gonna name anything else.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Amidst all of the Me Toos, there was also a growing anger, frustration about, you know, once again, it's up to the survivors to bring attention to this, to sort of champion the cause. And, you know, where are all of the men? Where are all of the men? Where are, you know, where are they when all of this is happening? Mm-hmm. You know?
Come
and get your boys.
Call them out. Take a stand. Say something.
Say something. Say anything. And I read that, and I had read that in some form or another in various ways over the years, you know. And this time, I couldn't stay silent anymore. There is tons and tons of information in the sort of burlesque whisper network about a particular missing stare in the burlesque community, and his name is Joseph Naftali.
For our listeners who aren't familiar with the term missing stare.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
A missing stare is a term that's been applied to a problematic or dangerous member of a community that people don't want to call out because they've learned how to already kind of navigate it. And it's compared to a missing stair, like, say, if you're going, you have a staircase into a basement and it's dark. Well, you know to step over that third stair. You know to avoid it because it's dangerous. But you're not warning the new people behind you that have never walked down this staircase.
Right.
And they're going to step on that stair and get hurt.
Right. And for various reasons, the stair never gets fixed or replaced or removed or what have you.
People just know it's there.
Yeah.
They're not fixing it.
Yeah. Now, I'm not going to share stories because these are not my stories to share.
Sure.
It would be inappropriate for me to do that. What I am going to say is that as far as I know, there are at least three women, maybe more, I don't know, but at least three that I know of who have very similar stories of sexual abuse, rape from Joseph Naftali. Mm-hmm. This has been whispered about for years about him, for quite some time. And no one has done anything. And whenever these whispers get loud enough for other people to hear, automatically there's about, I don't know, six people that come to his defense.
Sure.
Railing loudly about witch hunts and proof until proven guilty, innocent until proven guilty, and a lot of the sort of, you know, patriarchal sort of misogynistic sort of flag waving that happens whenever this sort of hits the fan.
Dispersing their own whisper stories to discredit the victims who have spoken.
Yeah. Yes. And I just kind of got sick and tired of it. Now, to be fair, I had written off Mr. Joseph Naftali a long time ago. Because he's a horrible garbage human being. This is before I realized that he was also sexually assaulting friends of mine. I can't possibly dislike him any less than I already do.
Sure.
But, you know, this is just more reason for me to do something about it.
Sure.
And so I posted on social media and I said, you know what? You're all right. You are all correct. You are absolutely 100% correct. I'm calling Joseph Naftali out as a sexual abuser. As
predator.
As a sexual predator.
You can say abuser, but predator is a great word.
Sexual predator, as a rapist. If he were to die tomorrow in a fire made with, like, I don't know, 20 other fires, I wouldn't shed a tear. Mm-hmm. And my only regret is that I didn't come out sooner and say something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not news to many people.
No, not at all.
I think, I don't know.
But it was the first time, as far as I know, that anyone had actually mentioned him by name in a public post.
Now, I don't know if this was part of your motivation for speaking out, but this was the thing that always gets to me.
What's that?
Like, every time one of these stories breaks, Cosby, Jared Leto, etc.
Sure.
James Dean, I see, like, a number of my peers online, specifically some people from the burlesque community, who are up in arms about this. And they are posting the articles and they are bringing awareness to it. And they're saying, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
This guy did these things.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing these posts from people who have gone to bat and defended.
Oh, absolutely.
Joe.
Yeah.
Against the same things because
they're friends with him.
They're friends with him, or they want to keep having a gig.
Right.
Or whatever.
Or that's not my experience, so therefore everybody else is wrong.
Right. And it it like makes my blood boil
yeah.
every time.
Oh,
I've got a short list and I've got a long list of these names that I see every time being like, this is,
yeah.
this is horrible. And I just want to pull my hair out. Yeah. And I don't know if that was part of the motivation behind you or if it was.
That was some of it. Okay. That was certainly some of it. I mean, I think mostly I wanted to do something.
Yeah.
You know, like, because I had read a bunch of posts like saying, well, okay, here we go again. We find a problematic person. Everybody rails about it for a month and then we all forget it and it goes back to status quo and nothing ever changes.
Yeah.
And I had read that same post over the years in the exact same way after some of these things boil up, after like Woody Allen, after like, you know, a bunch of other things. And I just couldn't take it anymore. I'm like, I know about a guy. I'm not the only one who knows about a guy. There's fucking hundreds of burlesque performers in New York City who know about this guy. Why is nobody saying anything outright? So I said, you know what? A, I'm out of the burlesque game. I have no stake in the burlesque game anymore True. Whatsoever. B, as far as I can tell, you know, I have a clean bill of health from people by and large. Like I'm an okay dude. You know what I mean? I don't, I have no stories running around of me being any problematic in any real way. So I figured, you know what? I can say something because no one can use my past against me. And see, if not me, then who? And then if not who, then when?
Yeah.
Right. So I said, fuck it. I'm going to do it. I did it. And I posted it in as many, not on my wall, on the New York City burlesque group wall, on the Florida burlesque group wall, on the Latin burlesque performers. I
screenshot it for your Instagram.
I posted it everywhere. Everywhere. And then the entire post was met with a resounding meh. I think it was maybe shared once or twice. It got a bunch of likes and it got a bunch of comments and all of them quite favorable, you know, saying thank you for doing this or oh my god, I didn't know. Thank you for taking
this.
Or
people saying like, yep, I've known for years.
Right, exactly. Like, yeah, this isn't old news, but thank you for putting it out there. And but basically like a very average post.
Yeah.
You know, I think I've gotten more likes and more comments on like poop jokes than I did on this. And so I was disappointed. And so I decided that I was going to do it again the next day. And because, interestingly enough, there was zero pushback.
Mm-hmm.
Zero. Not a single comment coming to his defense. Not a single comment calling me out for anything. Nothing. So I decided to push my luck and try again and state just that. You know, I find it very surprising that he hasn't come to his defense. Mm-hmm. And what he has done is people have gone to his, because what he did is he posted, you know, I realized that all of my friends had these shocking stories about sexual abuse or assault or sexual predators. I didn't realize it was this bad. I hear you.
Right. He posted one of those
posted one of those.
Like
yeah.
Expressing his empathy.
Empathy and shock and dismay.
For victims.
Yeah. And
oh my God, what a noble motherfucker.
Yeah. And so I don't know, but like I would say a handful of people went to that post and said, oh really? When are you going to come clean about your problematic behavior? And every single time that happened, that post was deleted and that person was blocked. Every single time. I don't know how many did it, but I know personally at least 12.
Saw a couple screenshots.
You know? And then so like the next day I posted, he is not defending himself. What he is doing is he's trying to silence the people that are accusing him. That is not the actions of an innocent man at all.
Yeah.
If he was innocent, he would be railing with righteous indignation about what a liar I am.
Yeah.
And he's not. What he is doing is he's blocking people that have a descending opinion about who he is.
Yes.
That's what he's doing. So fuck that guy.
Yeah.
And then...
burn it down! And then...
and then... I got what I was afraid of.
Yeah.
I'm not going to mention this performer because it's not important who she is.
Sure.
But I think I posted somewhere else, like not a new post, but I think I answered a post that answered a reply to an existing post on this. And she, I'm not going to read it because I don't want to call this person out. I don't think it's relevant. But, you know, she said, you know, maybe you should look deeply into your own behavior before you start calling out other people. To which I replied, I have for quite some time. And I do every single day. Thank you. And I'll continue to do so. She then replied, I think you misunderstand me. I'm not talking about, you know, in general, I'm talking about your problematic behavior. And this is brand new information for me. So I have no idea what she's talking about. So I ask her to go on. And she basically goes on this very long, detail's the wrong word, but a very long sort of, what's the word I'm looking for here? Explanation.
Okay.
Of her experience of me, or her retelling of other people's experience of me.
Okay.
And it turns out that while I was producing burlesque shows, I would very often ask out the women whom would either have been on stages I've hired them for, or were going to be on stages I would hire them for, or would potentially be on stages I would hire them for. And she said that is sexual harassment. And she's absolutely right.
It's an abuse of power, for sure.
She is absolutely right. I mean, at the time, if you would ask me if I was their boss, I would say, hell no. It's a burlesque show in a bar. Like, you know, we're all making like $50 at most. Like, I would never have even thought of it that way. But she's absolutely right. I was in a position of hiring and firing these people. Mm-hmm. I was in a position to determine whether or not they would return to a stage I was performing at. And a lot of these burlesquers were not getting gigs in other shows because at the time, this thing called Nerdlesque hadn't really taken off. Mm-hmm. And so there really wasn't a place for these pop culture inspired acts that people were creating because, you know, there's a huge contingent that don't really connect with classic burlesque or don't really connect with neo burlesque, mm-hmm. you know, and this is pop culture burlesque is the thing that connects with them, and that's all they've really done. And so there are very few opportunities for it. And so,
well, there were then.
Yeah, there were then. Now you can't fucking swig a dead cat.
Yeah.
But she's absolutely right. I was in a position to offer a thing that they really wanted, and as a result, I created an unsafe environment for them. Unwittingly, but that's not an excuse.
No.
And so, given this new information, I wrote what I hope is an apology that people can see as both earnest and deeply felt, mm-hmm. you know, for my behavior, you know. And I'm very, very glad to say that I am not that person anymore. And I haven't been that person for a very long time. And a large part of the reason why I got out of burlesque, you know, I mean, there's a number of different reasons, but one of which is that I just don't think cisgendered straight men should be producing burlesque at all. And, you know, it was time to put my money where my mouth was.
Sure.
And get out.
Sure.
And I regret, you know, here's the thing, like, I don't, and she also said things like, I would say really horribly problematic things on stage, mm-hmm. Which I can't remember anything I've said, but I absolutely own that because, I mean, I've said some really stupid things on stage. And if anything I've ever said on stage marginalized any of my performers, then I deeply regret that. You know, she did say that I said some really horrible things backstage as well. Mm-hmm. That's a harder pill to swallow because that seems to go against like who I am in my private life. Like, I don't go around just yelling out tits and boobs. Like, that's not a thing I do.
No.
But again, I can't dictate what someone's experience of me is.
True.
So if someone has an experience of me where I was saying really horrible shit, then that's their experience. And if I made someone feel, again, like, you know, unsafe or marginalized, then I deeply regret that.
Sure.
I wish someone had pointed that out sooner. I would have taken responsibility for it much sooner.
The thing is, I want to just like
hypocrite my pants here and, uh-huh. and like come in and be like, well, when we were producing a show together, I spent a lot of time backstage with you. And I know that if I'd heard any of this type of the things that she yeah. said that you had said backstage, I would have fucking flipped out on you. Well, I was kind of constantly scolding you.
Yeah.
For doing
literally
the wrong thing.
Everything else.
And everything. Just trying to like, just stay out of the way, be professional, yeah. quit, just like, about little things. Yeah. And like, this is a thing that I don't remember happening.
I don't remember happening either.
I can't make a character defense
on your behalf
and say, well, I never heard it because I'm just as bad as the whole like select group of
yeah.
the special guard.
Well,
that
I mean, also like you weren't around for everything that I may or may not have said.
Of course. You know. Yeah. So maybe, yeah, I believe if she says, I believe what she says.
Yeah. So do I. I believe her. I can't think of a single solitary instance where I've said something. At least I'm at backstage. Like on stage, I'm more than willing to own that because Lord knows I've said some really fucking horrible things on stage.
Yeah.
And I remember some of them and I regret all of them. Backstage is harder for me to imagine, but that's not important because someone has an experience of me. And mm-hmm. if it's just one person, it's one person too many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I am disappointed to hear that you used your position in such a way.
So am I. I'm very disappointed.
But I am glad to hear that you have responded to this in the correct way. And that
I'd like to think so.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, the thing is, like, there are people who are going to read my apology and accept it, and there are going to be people who read the apology and don't accept it. And mm-hmm. that's the and I will accept the consequences of my actions. There are just going to be some people I'm never going to make amends with. Sure. And that's my cross to bear. I just hope that I hope that that moment didn't distract from the fact that there's a rapist in the burlesque community.
Right.
You know, like, yes, I'm owning my shit. Or at least I'm attempting to own it as much as I can right now. And I'll keep owning it if people keep bringing it up.
You hired people for your show and you hit on it. It's fucking gross.
It's gross.
It's really gross.
It is.
And really disappointing.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm not trying to shy away from that. Whatever I may have done, Joseph Naftali's worse.
I mean, that's... without question. That yeah. doesn't mean that this is something that needs to be completely forgotten or has no merit because this guy is worse. But those two things can coexist. This thing is bad.
Yeah.
And yes, he is way fucking worse.
Yes. Yes, yes.
What I was really disappointed about in the fallout and the blow up from all of this is that I'm not going to name any names, but somebody else like tried to join the chorus to like take you to task, a friend of Joe's, to join the chorus to be like, yeah, Lugo's bad because of this completely unrelated thing to the conversation at hand.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. I don't care about that. That is an outright lie. And the fact that they haven't said anything publicly about it just proves it's an outright lie.
It had nothing to do with sexual harassment or assault or the conversation going
not
on.
At all.
They just were like giddy at an opportunity to publicly discredit you
knock me down a peg
because of other beef they have with you. But the person you're talking about, that's a legit conversation, and that was absolutely warranted.
Oh yeah. Oh no. Absolutely.
The conversation. This thing that I'm talking about, again from somebody I'm not going to name, was fucking garbage and insulting and upsetting.
Yeah, I don't care. They're all of those people are dead to me. They can say whatever the fuck they want about me.
True.
You know.
I heard you went to a supermarket once and you ate a grape and you didn't pay for it. I also heard that you downloaded my music for free.
I've never done that.
I'll bet you have.
Literally never.
Okay.
I don't have a problem accepting responsibility for my actions. I never have.
Good.
Not once. I have always accepted responsibility for my actions. But I need to know what those actions are for me to accept them. And this was brand new information. And it hit me like a fucking ton of bricks. Like, I have always prided myself on being, you know, I guess these ideas aren't particularly mutually exclusive. Like, you can be progressive and do ally things and still have a history of being a shit person.
Yeah, you absolutely can.
Yeah. I don't, it's weird because like that time in my life seems like fucking five lifetimes ago.
I mean,
you know,
I think
Again, like I'm not trying to distance myself from it, but like that person doesn't even exist anymore.
Well, I mean, he does when he blows up at hecklers.
Yes, I guess so.
We had a conversation a few episodes ago when we were talking about this, and we would say, yeah, like, what would we do if we found out the other one was accused of sexual assault?
Right.
And so...
Is our friendship over? Is that what you're saying?
No, because that's not what this conversation is about.
Right.
This is about you hitting on your cast members while in a position of power.
Right.
And I find it disappointing, but I don't feel like the same, especially given the way that you've responded to it.
Yeah.
I don't feel that this really warrants that kind of a conversation like that the way we discussed it a few months ago.
Right. I think the original idea was that you were accused and people made claims about you and that you flatly denied it.
Yeah.
You know, and flatly doubled down on witch hunts and,
yeah,
innocent until proven guilty.
Well, also when we're talking about assault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which granted, if burlesque had an HR department, I would have been fired.
True.
If I was lucky, I would only be fired. But I've never in my life ever touched anyone without their consent. And never will.
Good. And it's good to hear you're not producing burlesque shows anymore.
Oh God, yeah. No, I mean I don't hate myself anymore. Well, I mean,
not just because of that, but because you were just saying a little while ago that you don't like doing it.
Well, yeah, I don't like doing it. I don't think straight men should be involved in it.
Here.
And I also don't hate myself that much anymore.
That's maybe a little bit harsh, but are you friends with that fucking Canadian mentalist? All right, I don't want to get into that. That guy fucking sucks.
He's salvageable.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not.
We'll
talk about it later.
We'll talk it off mic, but yeah.
Anyway, it's a moment.
This is a bit of a fucking bummer downer.
Self-discovery amidst a terrible thing that was happening.
So, you know what? I would be very... Here, dear listener, I would be very interested to hear your two cents on this matter. A lot of your fans who have been listening since the first episode, and you've sort of gotten to know me, at least in general, over these past 55 episodes. I'd like to hear your two cents. You know what I mean? Am I a reprehensible human being? Is there redemption? Is there, you know, I want to hear what you have to say on that.
You mean in relation to the story you just told?
Yeah.
God damn it.
What?
Because I would have voted yes, you are a reprehensible human being. You are beyond redemption. But in response to this, I don't think that that's true.
Well, no, but I mean, lots of people have lots of different opinions on this.
Fair enough. So maybe they should send us a message.
Yeah. So email us at epicpodcast@gmail.com.
That's epicpodcast@gmail.com.
And we promise to read the emails and maybe even talk about them next month.
And also, we promise to come with an episode prepared next month.
Yeah, that's that.
Crying out loud.
There's that too. Do you have something upbeat that we can end on so it's not a fucking bummer show?
Sure.
You are one cranky ass curmudgeon.
Well, I'm trying to think. I said all of the good things. I mean, my like, oh God, I do.
What?
I don't know how much I've talked about my experience with antidepressants this year.
A bit. I mean, not a lot, but a bit.
I told you that I started taking them.
Yeah.
And then I fucked around with them and went off them for a couple of days.
Right.
And had these horrible side effects called brain zaps.
Sure.
Which are debilitating.
And legit.
Terrifying.
Legit.
And like one of the first Google results for brain zaps is many patients prescribed antidepressants were not informed of this potential side effect when going off them by the doctors who prescribed them. Well, yeah. So I started my year in a really bad place. And so I went on antidepressants and then ramped up my dosage all year long. And then I got to the middle of the year and I fucked around, went off them for a couple of days. And those couple of days were awesome because I felt feelings and I cried and I gave a shit about stuff again. I was unhappy, but I was also happy instead of just being compressed set of emotions.
Sure. You had a full range of emotions.
Yeah. So I had to like start fighting my shrink to get off of these meds. Because she wanted me to stay on them for a full year, but I like got so freaked out by those withdrawal symptoms that I just knew that I was delaying the inevitable.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't want to take these forever.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of side effects other than those that are, I feel like a ghost.
Sure.
I don't like care about things.
Yeah.
And that's not really what I wanted. So I've been slowly dropping my dosage from 60 to 50 to 40 to 30 to 20 every month. And then in the final month, you go 20 every 2 days instead of 20 every day.
Wow.
And I don't think I've done that for a month yet, but I kind of started fucking around with it on tour. And as of this recording, I've not taken it in 4 days.
Wait, because of your doctor's under your doctor's supervision?
Yeah, I kind of
you kind of fudged it a bit.
I kind of told my doctor to fuck off. Well, not my therapist, my shrink.
Oh,
the psychiatrist who prescribes the medicine, who fought me when I was like, I don't want to take these anymore. And she was like, yeah, well, maybe you should. Maybe we should actually give you a higher dose. And I was like, I don't think you're listening to me. My brain, my choice. I don't like the way it makes me feel, and I don't like the way it's gonna make me feel when I stop. So let's start. Sure. Let's start tiptoeing out of this party now.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
After we say goodbye to everybody in the room,
it'll bouncing.
Be like, it'll be like 45 minutes from now, so we can just like let's start this. So anyway, I was supposed to see my shrink before tour, and I canceled my appointment. And I've been doing the 20 every 2 days. And on tour, I forgot it one day because tour is not regular linear time.
No, that's
it doesn't
not real
make
life.
Sense.
That's not real life.
You're in a different city every day, and it's nothing is real. So I forgot it, and I noticed that I didn't have any really bad side effects. So I was like, I'm going to do this. So I started taking one every 3 days. And as of this recording, it has been 4 days, and I have not had brain zaps.
Oh, look at that.
So I think I might be done with this awful fucking poison that I've been taking.
Well, I hope so.
Me too.
Yeah. How do you feel?
Weird. It feels strange, but I feel a little bit more like myself.
Good.
Like, I feel... When I get happy about things, I feel really happy, and I also feel like I could probably start crying like any minute.
Okay,
and that's
progress.
That sounds to the average bear, that might sound like a detrimental state.
No, oh God, no.
But it means that I can fucking feel again.
Yeah,
and crying used to be a big part of my life.
I know.
Loved it. I'm good at it.
No, I know. You cried at the drop of a hat.
I know. So I think like one of the big things that was driving me is that a very dear friend of mine from college passed away recently, and it was tragic.
Yeah.
He was sick.
Yeah.
And I am still like all these years on, I am still like, I absorb other people's grief.
Yeah.
Somebody tells me about some kind of loss that they've had. I feel it deeply and I hurt and I cry.
Yeah.
And this is a guy who I loved. I haven't seen him in a couple of years, but I loved him dearly many years ago.
Sure.
And I didn't really feel anything.
Yeah.
I said all the things that you're supposed to say.
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't really feel it. And I was like, this is not who I am. This is this fucking medicine.
Yeah.
And it's starting to come out and I'm starting to get caught up on my feelings.
Oh.
Rest in peace, buddy.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm really glad.
Thank you.
I'm really glad to hear that.
It's been a scary process because...
No, I know.
The withdrawal I had in those like 2 days that I didn't take it when I was fucking around earlier in the year, that one day, that day of withdrawal was the worst day that I can remember.
Wow.
It was that bad. I get why people like go on meds and then go off suddenly and then fucking do terrible things.
I know that this has been a pretty... pertinent issue in your life for the past year, like getting them on, then getting off of them, and
yeah,
I'm glad that you know you're at the end of it, or at least hopefully at the end of it now.
I feel like I'm at the end of it.
Yeah.
Knock on. I don't even think this is made of wood. What is this? This is garbage.
This is a solid core door. You're good.
This is not solid.
It's solid.
Okay. So there's something optimistic to end on.
Hooray!
I'm getting off the drugs that made me happy.
Hooray!
And they never made me happy. They just made me not miserable.
Well, that makes me excited.
Thanks.
I'm glad to have my full friend back again.
I get to cross one thing off the list of substances upon which I am dependent. And that's fucking something.
You know what? I'm going to take it. Great. I'm going to take that as a win. This has been...
Wait.
What?
I know you're going to do that, but do you want to like plug some shit first?
Do
you plug things anymore? Do you have anything to plug?
I don't really plug stuff on the podcast anymore because I think nobody in New York actually listens to the podcast.
Well, I'm going to plug stuff.
Okay.
Oh, are you waiting for me?
Yeah.
Crazy.
What? I don't have anything to plug. You're like...
I'm going through my phone and I'm finding the important things that mean anything.
Wait music.
Here we go. I'm going to do it quick. On Tuesday, October 31st, Junk Drawer Volume 2 will be released on Bandcamp.
Boom!
Yeah.
Yeah, explosion sound.
That was a pretty good explosion
sound.
Thank
you.
No problem. Thank you. On Saturday, November 4th, the Pink Room Burlesque will present a burlesque tribute to Twin Peaks The Return at Joe's Pub in NYC. Only new season material.
Ooh, all right.
The following Saturday, Saturday, November 11th, the the Pink Room Burlesque will travel to the Hard Rock Cafe in Philadelphia.
Wowzers.
Where we'll perform our classic Twin Peaks burlesque show.
Holy shit.
On Monday, November 13th, we will see the release of Schaefer Riley and the Double Ice Backfires. Hold person! Starting out of Bandcamp and then spreading to music streaming services worldwide.
Awesome.
On Tuesday, November 14th,
yeah.
I'm going to turn 43 years old.
Hooray!
Send me a carrot cake or whatever the fuck.
I already got your gift picked out.
I bet it's awesome.
It is awesome.
Cool. And I think that is all I have to do.
Okay.
And somewhere in there, we have to come up with a script and do a scripted show next month. We got to do something else. We got all these notes from our listeners and those who don't listen, and we need to put them in action.
Okay.
Not on a month when we only have 3 days to go and no time to edit.
Right. So next month, look forward to a scripted show.
Are you saying this just to keep us honest?
Okay. Yes. Cool. Yes. Because then we don't, then we got to explain why.
All right.
And it's usually your fault.
Yeah. All right, so that's it. Now we can wrap it up.
This has been the Epic Podcast, episode 55. I have been your host, Nelson Lugo.
I have been your other host, Schaefer the Dark Lord.
Be safe, internets.
Bye. Thank you for listening to the Epic Podcast. We'd love to listen to you, too. So send us your feedback, questions, love mail, hate mail, recipes, and fan fiction to epicpiecast@gmail.com. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network. And there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. If you like what you've heard, please rate and review us on iTunes. Like and follow us on SoundCloud and Audioboom, or subscribe and stream on Google Play. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and more, visit nerdyshow.com. And be sure to follow Nerdy Show and the Epic Podcast on all of your favorite social networks. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.
Hold on. Don't put this part in. So you're really not going to edit the show?
Yeah.
Like, seriously? You're not going to
I'm not going to edit it.
You're not going to take out the ums and the oops and the...
No.
Seriously?
No. None of it.
All right.
I'm not even going to listen to it. I'm going to spread it out and put the music stuff in where it needs to go, and that's
right,
it.
Right in the middle part there? We're going to take a break?
Yeah.
Okay. I regret ever saying that was a good idea now for some reason.
Do you? You thought I was kidding about this no editing thing?
I thought you were like, I don't know, doing a bit.
Why don't you ever, this is, see, nobody ever takes me seriously.
Well, I mean, come on. Come on, seriously, come on.
We need to record a stinger.
Okay, what do you want the stinger to be?
Well, there's always a minute of silence.
Okay.
After the music fades out.
Do you want to hit pause, or should we just sit here in silence for
a minute? We're going to sit in silence. Are you ready? I'm going to start the clock.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay. You're not going to hit the pause, the space bar?
No, we're recording 1 minute of silence.
Okay.
This is what we I would normally just take this out, and right. just go straight to the thing that we say.
Okay.
But I said we're going to cut, so.
You could just hit the space bar. You know that, right?
I mean, I know I could.
Hold on. What do you want the stinger to be?
I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
Do you want to tell me
beforehand, or do you want to get like a more organic answer?
I want it like a natural response. Okay. I like surprising you with questions.
No, I know.
Feel your responses are more natural. What are we calling this episode again?
Uncut, I think.
55
uncut.
Uncut. Okay.
Yeah.
We only got like 8 seconds left.
Okay.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Here we go. No, shoot. Hey, Lugo.
Hey, Schaefer.
Quick question.
Sure.
I have here as we wrap up.
Yeah.
Episode 55 uncut.
Sure.
There's one thing that it's always been kind of gnawing at me, and I feel like there's no better time to ask.
Okay.
It's been kind of killing me, and I've always really wanted to know. But there's no like easy way to ask.
Right.
Are you circumcised?
Oh my god. No.
You're not?
No, I'm not.
Oh shit, that's what I thought.
Why? Why would you? Well, I mean,
I don't know.
Well, I mean, I'm not Jewish. I come from a Latin family.
I'm not Jewish either. I just look it.
That was more information than I wanted.
Oh, I didn't mean that my penis looks Jewish, but it totally does because I'm totally circumcised.
Okay, stop. Just
okay. I was born in the 70s in Iowa.
I'm done.
It was
law. I'm putting the headphones down. What? I'm
this
walking
is an
away.
Important conversation. No, people like I'm it done. When we ask intimate stuff.
No, I'm done.
They say, the fans stop say talking. That it's more interesting than when we talk
stop
about Batman talk. And shit.
I'm done.
Oh my God, you're such an uncut pain in the ass.